Welcome to American Reds, Tribal Rant's unofficial podcast for the FX series, The Americans. I'm Michelle.
And I'm Mike.
And tonight we're podcasting The Americans, Season 4, Episode 9, The Day After.
The Day After. And I remember that movie in 1983, too. Do you?
No, I don't think I do. It was a big deal. Yeah.
Everybody watched that movie. And this show covered it. This episode covered the interest that tried to illustrate the interest. If you remember, later on we'll talk about it. Everybody's sitting around watching the same movie. Oleg and Tatiana, Don and Young-hee, the Russian spy family. Everybody's sitting around watching it. And this is what happened in 1983. This was a big, big deal. It was a big event.
Well, and us being the diligent podcasters that we are, we actually found the movie on YouTube and watched it.
We watched the movie right before. And I'm glad we did, too.
It illustrated
a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it really did. It really brought back the fear to me of that time and the things. Well, this whole episode did, but that movie did, I think, in particular, it brought back. It was very sobering, very 80s.
Yeah, a lot of tension.
Yeah.
It also was true to its name, The Day After, because it was all about what would happen after.
You know, right.
the nuclear winter with all the fallout and the people with the radiation poisoning and the destruction and living that way. So it was really a good idea to go back and watch it, I think.
And they gave us enough of the character development, because like a lot of the movie, the beginning part of the movie, was what was going on in people's lives. And you and I have talked about this several times in different podcasts that we do. You have to care about the people. Because if you don't care about the people, then you don't feel as much pain for them when something bad goes on. We've talked about it several times in this episode, how we have to...
Well, it's what causes the emotional reaction when you're...
Sure.
You know, to the show, or whatever it is.
Well, the air date was May 11th, and did you have any overall impressions about this episode, or what this episode reiterated, or...
Yeah, it's how sometimes big decisions fall to one person. One person can make a life or death decision for millions of people.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's true, too. We did see that in, well, all over this episode.
Mm-hmm. One person can do something to benefit the masses or something to absolutely destroy the masses, impact the masses in a positive or negative way. Sometimes a big, huge decision comes down to the actions of one person.
Yeah, and it was a lot about bucking the system, right? Like, it was about people's decisions to go along with their training and what they'd been told, or to buck the system and do
not necessarily
go out on their
buck
own.
The system, just disregard the standard operating procedures for a gut instinct that this is wrong.
I thought that's what bucking the system was.
No, bucking the system is not going along with the system, because, by God, I ain't doing it. I'm doing it my way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's bucking. Bucking is a rebellious type thing, not a for the greater good type thing, in my definition of bucking.
Okay. Well, that
somebody
sounds...
else maybe have a different definition.
Okay. We start off this episode, and remember I told you last time, I said we see Paige driving.
Yeah, now you can't fully appreciate this scene unless you've actually taught a 15-year-old girl how to drive.
Right. Right. And props to you, because you're the one who did this with our daughters. I tried it one time with the oldest daughter, freaked out after we went a literal block, made her come back home, and I said, I can't do this. I can't do it.
I thought Philip portrayed this situation just fabulously.
Right. And I thought Paige did too, by the way.
Yes, she did.
Because remember how the kids get mad at you?
Yeah, right.
I mean, you're sitting there, your life is like literally...
Well, they
in
have
their
nobody
hands.
Else to lash out at.
Right.
They've just got a lot of anxiety.
Right.
And if you say anything at all to them, they're just going to jump on you.
Paige has scolded her father a couple times, and I remember that with the girls and even tears and stuff. You know,
oh, absolutely. What do you? I mean, you know, I taught them all how to drive, so yeah I got a lot of that crying on the side of the road stuff.
They were learning to drive in the parking lot.
Sure, that's where I taught the girls how to drive, was in the parking lot of the church.
Of the church. Yeah. But they were in the parking lot of an amusement park. And I tried to look up what amusement park, but I'm not sure how they did this in this episode, because this was an old amusement park. This was not a new amusement park.
Okay.
I don't know if they had backdrops or what with that.
I don't know.
It wasn't like roller coasters of today. It was like roller coasters of
Well, we've got 80s. One of those here.
Yeah, we do. We do. But
so they may have a holdover up there.
They may, and it may be something like that. So I tried to look it up. I wanted to find out what amusement park they were in.
Did you Google old amusement park in Virginia?
I actually Googled
Washington, D.C. area.
I Googled amusement park circa 1984, Washington, is what I Googled. And I didn't find anything Googling that. But what I did find, there's a theme park in Washington, and it's called Operation Spy, and it's where you can go and immerse yourself in an interactive experience where you are the spy.
Really?
Yes. And I thought that was a pretty cool thing. It's just I happened upon it looking for this amusement park.
I think it probably depends on which side you're on. I don't know if it's going to be cool or not.
Well, it's just a thing. It's a game. It's just a game. I think it's so much fun. Anyway, I thought that's pretty cool, so I think we should road trip to Washington and go to the Operation Spy.
So I'll be Philip. Are you going to be Elizabeth or Martha?
I don't know if it works. I don't know if you get to pick like that. I don't.
Oh, we're going to pick.
Nah.
Oh, yeah. I want you to be Martha.
I'm assuming that this was like being portrayed as Six Flags of America, right, which is in Upper Marlboro, Maryland, which is like right in that area.
Okay.
I don't know. Anyway, I just thought it was interesting. But Paige is gliding in the car.
She's gliding. She says, you know what would be better? If I was just a little bit smaller car. And he says, get the Camaro out of your mind. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah.
He knew exactly what she was talking about.
Yeah, she was rationalizing.
She wanted to drive the Camaro. She wasn't rationalizing anything.
Well, she was rationalizing. She was saying it would be easier to learn. This car's smaller and all that.
Yeah.
Okay, then we see Patty having that conversation with Young Hee. She's at her house again.
Right.
And Young Hee's talking about how hectic everything is now that Dawn's mother is gone back to Korea for a month. And we see that Patty capitalizes on that information.
Right.
Here in a little while. They also discuss how their parents were really hard on them and how they're easier on their children.
Yeah, I think all parents feel like they're, or at least in my experience, parents have always talked about how much harder their parents were on them.
Right. And we see Dawn again. I thought when we first met Dawn that this was going to be about Dawn. Do you remember me saying that?
I know. Well, you know what the significance is here now, right?
I don't. I still haven't figured it out.
Oh, my God. I'll tell you.
You got to tell me.
Oh, I'm going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you right now.
Okay. Well, tell me when you want to tell
me. I'm going to tell you what the whole thing's about. The whole Young Hee thing. I've got it all figured out.
Dawn, does he work for Level 4?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I was thinking.
Dawn is the key, because when he meets up with, we won't wait until we jump forward, but I'm going to jump forward since you brought it up.
Okay.
When they get together with William, William sends a signal, and he's asked them during their conversation, how are you doing with getting me the Level 4 access?
And they're tough.
And he says, we're making progress. Dawn is the progress they're making.
Mm.
Dawn is the key to getting to Level 4. And it dawned on me when they were having this tea for some reason, and Dawn came by, and Patty's interest in Dawn. Hey, Dawn. And I thought, he's the Level 4 guy.
Yeah.
That's how they're getting, that's what this whole thing is about, because they've cut everything down. Remember, Gabriel reduced their workload.
Right.
So they've reduced everything, but they've kept on this. And
right.
And then when he got in front of William and said, hey, we're working on it, I thought, that's it.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah, I thought it might be, but I wasn't as sure.
I'm absolutely positive.
Paige is saying how there's a send-off at the church next week for the committee for the church's Ethiopia trip, and they should all go. Pastor Tim wants to see the whole family and make it seem more normal. Now, the way Philip was looking at her when she said this, because Philip's like, sure, go, and she's like, no, I think we should all go. It's almost like Elizabeth's gotten her wish with Paige, because she really is, like, working with them now. She's reluctant.
But she's not just working with them. She's very intuitive about the work.
She is. She is. She's like her mother, as far as that kind of stuff goes. But she says that they'll seem more normal. And the way he looks at her when she does this, I don't know, it was really weird. It was like he kind of got that she was getting this whole, like you said, intuitive thing.
Right. She was looking at it from 30,000 foot view.
Right.
Yeah.
And she knew enough at her age and experience to know what they needed to do to protect the family.
I think you're absolutely right.
Well, then we go into the intro and we come back and Stan and Philip are playing racquetball.
Racquetball, that 80s sport, racquetball. Everybody
was that an 80s sport?
Everybody was playing racquetball in the 80s.
Did you notice Stan had on a red, white, and blue sweatband on his arm?
Yeah.
And Philip had on like a light blue and white or a gray and white or whatever. Yeah. But Stan had on the red, white, and blue striped, yeah. Philip's playing really well, and Stan wants to know what his secret is.
Getting more sleep.
Yeah. He says he dropped a few clients and he's getting more sleep. But Stan's still tore up. He says he and Tori broke up. And what did you think about his reason why?
Well, he's, you know, clearly bemoans losing Sandra. I mean, it's obvious. I mean, now that she's gone, he neglected her. And now that she's gone, he's neglecting his beer, and pretty soon it's going to be gone. Matthew's going to get all of it.
There you go.
So, you know, he's just losing. I feel sorry for him.
Yeah, he seems still really stressed. And we
I think
know
he's a little nostalgic over the thought of Sandra. I don't know that if Sandra came back, I mean, if we're just being honest, I hate to be cynical, but I think he's so married to the FBI, it'd be the same thing all over again. He may go through a honeymoon period trying to patch things up and do things with her, but I think he'd go right back to being Stan.
You don't think people can learn?
I do think people can learn. I don't think Stan can learn, because Stan's married to the FBI. His character is married to the FBI.
He is, but we see him doing some things with Matthew and stuff now. You know, we see him, like, watching the TV show and stuff like that. I don't know. Well, Philip's ready to go again. He's ready to play a different game, but Stan can't do it because the new boss is a stickler. Now, we haven't met the new boss yet. I'm kind of interested to meet this new boss.
And well, they call him, he's a munchkin. He's one of Director Webster's disciples.
Yeah.
Everybody's, you know, running around Director Webster. If he stops too fast, you know, they'll break their nose. He's one of those coercive, dictatorial directors of the FBI, and all of the supervisors that fall in line with him, you know, are favored.
Yeah, and it seems like he kind of has a following, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, this guy is wanting to be one of those followers, so he's making sure that everybody under him is toeing the line.
Well, they definitely put somebody in place that's the opposite of Gad, because
yes,
we hear here that Gad, you know, just did whatever. He did his own thing. As long as they kept the Russians at bay, kind of. You know, that was Gad's thing. As long as they stop the Russians, do it however you got to do it, essentially. But that's not what they have with this new guy. This new guy is definitely a toe-the-line, do what you are told to do. Yeah,
by the book. Standard operating procedures. Don't deviate from the game plan. You're all going to look the same. You're all going to walk the same.
But Stan says that Gad retired, and I thought that was a good little piece of information that we got. We didn't know he retired, did we?
They let him retire.
Right, but I didn't know that he didn't get fired. I didn't know that it wasn't something worse than that. So I did like that,
right,
getting that little piece of information.
Right.
So Elizabeth comes home. Now, this is where she comes in, and she tells Philip that William has signaled them.
Yes.
In place of Gabriel.
Really
out of...
Very unusual.
Right.
Not with protocol.
Right. Not standard protocol. Mm-hmm. That they... should do.
And I think what we glean from the conversation when they do hook up with William is that William has kind of developed a bond with Philip.
Yeah, but he hadn't seen him in 7 months.
Yeah, but he's confiding. You know, before he was a little standoffish,
right,
and very, you know, stoic. And now he's sharing more about his feelings. I think William may have gone to Est.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That might have been what happened.
Yeah, shared his book. I like the new disguises. What do you think about the new disguises?
Ooh, they are rough.
Now, I got to ask you, though. Elizabeth's disguise.
Yeah.
Was it a nod to Prince? Because she did have a raspberry beret.
Oh, but this had to have been filmed long before something happened.
I know, that's what I'm thinking, but she was, well, I'm just pointing out here.
That's a good point. It was awfully coincidental.
And I think Phillips, being a bit of a smartass with his Ronald Reagan-looking wig, I think, it looked just like Reagan's hairdo. I mean, it was Reagan's hairdo and Bush's glasses.
That's
he
funny.
Had George Bush's glasses on, George Bush Sr.'s glasses, and Ronald Reagan's hair. If you don't believe me, go back and look at it. It's George Bush's glasses and Ronald Reagan's hair.
I just saw it in my mind when you said it. I agree with you.
So Phillips kind of, you know, smeared it in the face there, the current administration for the time.
That's funny because that hair. I did keep thinking about the hair, and you're right. I couldn't.
It's Ronald Reagan hair.
Place it.
Go back and look at a picture of Reagan. Look at that wig. It's Ronald Reagan hair and George Bush glasses.
That's funny. Well, we have Hans who's jogging by.
Oh, isn't Hans cool? Hans just watching the whole thing.
That's what Elizabeth did too. Both of them were just lookouts for Philip to meet.
Sure.
With William. And Philip lets William know about Martha, that she went back to Moscow. And I think that's another thing William likes, is that he knows Philip did something out of protocol,
sure,
against the grain, made his own decision, like you brought up at the beginning.
Right.
And things turned out as well as
and
they
so this
could have.
Emboldens him, and he points it out to Philip later in the conversation. It's funny, they were sitting there talking, and he was talking about he didn't feel free. You know, there was a Russian spy in the United States, and he just didn't feel free in the USA. It was just funny. It struck me as funny. You know?
Yeah, because I wouldn't have thought that they would have felt that way.
No, you wouldn't have thought that they felt. Of course, then again, how else could they feel?
Right. But I just hadn't thought of it before. But I agree. Yeah, once he said it, and you think about how confined and contained Philip and Martha, or Philip and Elizabeth are, and all the pressures they have, and even the fact that they got this 7-month break because it's so much pressure.
Yeah,
it's absolutely true.
Philip says he's been coasting for 7 months and taking a break, and William looked at him with that incredulous look on his face and said, "Breaks?
Yeah, we get breaks.
I didn't know we get breaks." And then he tells Philip he didn't want to. Doesn't know if he wants to tell the center or not.
And that's why he signaled them in place of signaling Gabriel.
Exactly.
Because he knows Philip will sometimes go against the grain, make his own decision.
Well, this is one of my points here, that William wants to impact the level of destruction that the Soviet Union can obtain. One man has the power to report this availability of this particular nasty, nasty virus, or hold it back.
Right.
And he is wanting to choose to hold it back. And I thought that went with something that we're going to see later, that we see one of the other characters using that same dynamic to make a decision. Or mentioning someone else who used that kind of decision-making process.
Well, William also points out here that they've got him on a regular schedule now, but they're not suspicious of him because he sees them in the CDC essentially following other people in there. He sees them put people on people to watch them, but they're not doing that to him.
I wonder why.
Because they're suspicious of him, I guess.
No, I wonder why they're not suspicious of William anymore. Because they did have people on William at one time. Remember?
Following them. Yeah.
Martha was getting the reports of when they were going to be following
William. Right, you're
right. William.
Right. I don't know. This is what we talked about at the beginning, where William says that this new Lassa virus is on level 4, and are y'all close to getting me there? And he he's thinking about not telling the center about it. And that's when Philip says we're working on it. And we know that he's not working on anything except the Kimmy case,
Afghan stuff with the CIA.
Right.
And the Young Hee and Don case.
Right. And he says he wants to make the right decision like Philip did with Martha.
Right. Yeah, I want to make the right decision. He iterated that.
Right. Now, I think he was wanting almost permission from Philip to not do this. He didn't want to make that call on his own, and he basically says that at
the
end.
And he wants Philip to amen his decision, say, you know what, that is the right thing.
Right. But William says it's never enough for them. No matter what he gets them, they want something worse.
Of course they do.
And Philip's saying, but do you trust the Americans? The Americans have it. And he says, yeah, but from what they're telling me is they're trying to come up with a vaccine for it.
And plus their containers are better. He's referencing the problem they had with Gabriel before.
Yeah, yeah. He says he doesn't trust the Americans, but the threads on their containers work most of the time.
That was pretty funny.
Pretty bad.
William had the best line.
Now, then we see everybody sitting around watching this movie.
It's an event. They gathered to watch it.
Did you notice, though, wasn't it funny that Stan and Matthew was watching it with Philip, Elizabeth, Henry and Paige, they were all sitting together.
Yeah,
the Russian spies and the
FBI agent and his son. That was very interesting.
We saw even William watching it.
Oleg and Tatiana.
I told you there was something going on with them, remember?
I know, and Tatiana's looking pretty hot.
Arcady is watching it.
Arcady's watching it. Everybody in this thing's watching it.
Young Hee and Don are watching it together, like you said earlier, and everybody's very somber with it. And they're showing different parts of the movie, the real significant, scary parts of the movie, and how these individual people are reacting.
Yeah, and how this nuclear exchange evolved and what it looked like after it was over.
And this was another pretty long scene where we didn't have any... I mean, you have the talking on the TV, but none of the characters talk. I really like how they do that in this series, how they'll have like a span of time and you have to read emotions on their face. And they do such a good job with that. Because didn't you really get, even before they talked about it later, how affected these people were?
The acting in this series is among the best on television that I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's really good. Okay, then we go to the scene where Philip walks into the bathroom, where Elizabeth's in the bathroom. She's sitting there on the side of the tub, and he's asking her if she's okay, and she says she's just thinking. Now, Philip, I think, thinks she's thinking about not doing this thing with Young Hee.
Okay.
But this is where Philip says maybe William's right. What if this one time we don't report back?
And Elizabeth, being Elizabeth, who is back now to being Elizabeth, says, this is why we're here.
Right.
This is why we're here. They're making this stuff.
This poison.
To kill us.
To destroy us, right. And so we have to be able to defend ourselves.
She's got the overview, the Russian spy book overview. She's keeping them on mission here. This is her job. She's doing a good job of it, too.
And she also says that he has to remember these are the people who dropped the atom bomb twice.
Twice.
And we just can't sit in our comfortable home and pretend. She has, and we've talked about it many times, but she has guilt, I think, over the comfortable life that she leads, maybe compared to...
She came from a pretty rough childhood.
Yeah, so did Tatiana.
And so did Philip.
Yeah. But this is where Elizabeth says that she's going to search Young Hee's place and see if there's anything she can use on Don.
Yeah.
So she's trying to find something essentially to blackmail Don with,
right,
correct?
Right. To hold over his head and make Don do her bidding.
But Philip says it might be difficult.
And she flips her hair and says, oh, I don't know.
Did you get that too?
Yeah.
I did too. Yes, she's like,
I think I can talk him into something. Yeah, I never know what's going to happen. Have you seen my little garter belt and my little thingy that I wear sometimes?
And then we go immediately to Patty offering to babysit.
Yes.
For the kids.
And
they're so excited because they never get to go away like that. Even Dawn's sister won't babysit. And
no, they're just happy. They don't think a thing about it, and they take off, and she goes through that house and stays up the entire night. And we see that doesn't work well for somebody on the other end of a phone a little bit later.
Yeah, she has a rough time with it.
She stays up all night.
And then we see Oleg and Tatiana stress relieving, and she's shushing him the whole time. Did you notice?
Yeah, I don't know if that would work for me.
She says, shh, shh.
She might not be able to be my girlfriend. This is good, though. This is where they get done, and then Oleg brings up that incident they had that we didn't find out about this for years later. United States, in September of 1983, they detected a false launch. And they detected one missile and then more missiles, a total of 5 missiles they detected on their early warning system.
Right.
And the operator of the early warning system, which was a new system at the time, thought for himself, I'm not going to respond to this because I know that the United States would fire more than 5 missiles in a first strike, and this is a new system and it may not be operating correctly. This was a huge decision made by one man that I think we can safely say potentially changed world history. If the Russians had responded to what they thought was
a nuclear attack,
which they were waiting for a nuclear attack. They didn't trust America.
Just like we were waiting.
Less. They trusted us a lot less than we trusted them. And they felt like that the U.S. might attack early, and they were on a hair trigger to begin with.
Yeah.
And then this stupid, outdated system that they had, even when it was new.
Yeah.
You know, it alerted to an intercontinental ballistic missile being fired based on sunlight bouncing off clouds.
Wow, I know.
And if you'd had an inexperienced operator in there, or somebody who just wasn't as smart as this guy, this was the right guy at the right time. And this really happened in 1983. September 26th, 1983, this event occurred. Matter of history. I wonder how many other times that because this is documented.
Right.
Okay, this happened. I wonder how many undocumented close calls we've had. I'll bet there were many more. I'll bet there's no way to know how many undocumented close calls we've had.
I don't know. It's horrifying, though, isn't it, when you think about it?
I know.
How scary.
So I try not to think about it.
How close that came. But Tatiana asks Oleg here. By the way, I like Oleg in this scene. Oleg looks...
He looks happy.
He looks happy, and his hair's kind of disheveled, and he's grinning, and he just really had a...
Why wouldn't he be?
He just really had a completely different appeal to me.
Okay.
Than I've ever seen with Oleg. Oleg has never been appealing specifically to me, but in this scene, Oleg might be my boyfriend. He might be, because he just looks so... He was cute. Oleg was cute, and I really liked that.
Oleg, the appealing Russian diplomat.
He was cute. Hmm. But Tatiana wants to know who knew about this. And Oleg says nobody knew. Now, why was she asking him that? Isn't that an odd question?
She might be in Russian spy mode.
See, I know. Do you think she might have had some ulterior motive for asking him? Because he says his father knew, but nobody knew.
She may have just wanted to use that as leverage later on. She's filing stuff away. Tatiana is ambitious.
I mean, why else would she ask that? Is there any other reason?
She's ambitious.
Who knew?
Information's power, and she wanted a little bit more information.
Well, their technology is way behind, is what Oleg says, but Tatiana says that's why he's there, to catch them up, because he's the one...
Right, yeah, now she's stroking his mind.
But then Oleg wonders what he would have done in that same situation, because that's got to be a question
that's a fantastic question.
Yeah. And then we go to the scene where Elizabeth's making sure that the kids are asleep. Don and Young He's kids are asleep. And we then go back to Philip talking to Paige about another driving lesson this weekend. They're washing dishes and stuff. And then he sees how much this movie really affected Paige.
This movie affected a lot of people back in 1983.
But she thinks he has some kind of insight, I think, on this and the likelihood of it happening based on...
Keep in mind, also, in 1983, I was on the USS Ranger. in the middle of the Indian Ocean when the Russians shot down, I think it was KAL 007, the Korean, they shot down a Korean passenger jet with a U.S. congressman on board, Larry McDonald.
Yeah, I remember.
Remember, we drive through Atlanta, we drive down Larry McDonald
sure.
Memorial Highway. The Russians shot this plane down because it veered into their airspace. So tensions were high.
Right.
Very high. So this missile defense operator had to have just incredible presence of mind to be able to process this information during that period. You need to think about that.
Well, sure.
That's something to think about. And Oleg is thinking about it.
He is thinking about
it. I wonder if I could have been that guy.
And Paige is worrying about all of this, even as a teenager. It's really affected her.
Well, sure,
Paige is even saying stuff like...
And she's up
like,
close and personal with it, too. Her parents are Russian
sure,
spies.
Sure. And she's even saying stuff like, it'd be better if... She hopes they're all together. It'd be better if it happened quickly to be wiped out. I mean, things that you would hate to really hear coming from your teenager's mouth. And Philip can't even offer her much comfort.
No.
Because he worries about it, too. He says. And then we see Elizabeth. I mean, she is going through everything.
Behind
everything.
Photographs, books, watching Don's porno, or maybe Young He's porno. She's really going through it.
Yeah, she goes through his Rolodex. She looks underneath drawers, on the bottom side of drawers, under cabinets. She goes through his calendar, filing cabinets, behind picture frames. I mean, she goes, you know...
Is this when they were playing that song?
Winter Kills.
Yeah, Winter Kills by Yazoo.
Yes.
And it was it was on their 1982 album. And I forget, I think it's called Upstairs at Eric's. It was a British synth pop band. Real weird genre. It debuted at, it was the second single from the album. It peaked at number 3. It spent 2 weeks at number 1
wow.
on the American Dance Chart. I didn't know there was a different, there's a top 100 and then there's American Dance Chart. This song, this really weird song spent 2 weeks at the number 1, at number 1 on the American Dance
Chart. And I'd never heard it.
I had never heard it either. And what's your opinion on what was it referencing?
Well, if you read the words of the songs, there were several different things that you could pick out of it. But the end of it says, I tear at you, searching for weaker seams. And
so it's probably referencing her search and her
trying to find something weak about him that she could right. use against
her
him.
Her enthusiastic search to find his weak link. I got it. I thought it also had a mild reference to, you know, winter being, you know, Cold War.
Sure.
And the end result is a nuclear winter.
And how winter kills.
And how winter kills.
Right.
A nuclear winter kills. So, anyways, there's a lot of... These people do an excellent job.
Them and their songs. I mean, it blows me away
how
every
in the
time.
World? They must have somebody... I bet they got somebody in a basement right now eating Cheetos and listening to 80s music.
A team. It's got to be a team of people. One person could not find all this. It's got to be a team. So then we see Philip coming into the travel agency, and this
yeah,
is where Elizabeth.
She's been up all night, and somebody on the other end of that phone is getting
the ball.
Her wrath. She is pissed.
She's tired.
Sure
and she's
she
stressed.
Is. Yeah.
And Philip walks in and says he'll deal with that. And then he
wow.
asks her how it went, and she says she didn't find anything. And he tells her again. You know, you can make this call. You don't have to go through with this.
She wouldn't give up. She don't know how to give up.
That's a good point. But she tells him she's going to be late. And he says, let's just tell the center. They'll find another way. And she's like, I don't know if there is another way. She's determined. She's definitely not in that camp of go out on your own and make your own call.
No. She's standard operating procedures,
yeah.
Elizabeth.
And then we see disguised Philip meet up with William again, and he tells him that they're going to move forward, and that William should be the one to tell Gabriel, because otherwise it'll look...
Right, it's going to look funny that he came
right.
to them first, and Philip asks William, why did you tell me?
Yeah, and this is where William says it's just too big of a decision to make on your own.
And I think this is what Oleg was talking about. But this guy did make that big decision on his own.
Yeah.
If the United States had been attacking Russia and the operator of the early warning system didn't respond, they would have been wiped out, and we would have, for lack of a better term, won.
It's amazing, and it's amazing the call that guy made.
It sure is,
and that he was right.
And those circumstances. I mean, you have to put yourself in that time frame. The shooting down of the Korean airliner, the strained relations between the two countries, the divide, and all the training that these Russian operators get.
Like Elizabeth.
He had to go against everything he had ever been told to make the right decision, and he made it.
Yeah, but you're saying we would have, in essence, in this situation, won. But if there was only, and I say only, kind of tongue-in-cheek, but not really, if there was only 5 missiles...
Then they would have had a chance to respond.
They would have, right.
This is one of his reasons that he stated later during the investigation that the reason he didn't respond, because he knew that if the United States was launching a first strike, it'd be a lot more than 5 missiles. Like on the day after, they said
150,
300
right?
missiles were inbound. Yeah. 300 warheads.
So then we see Elizabeth looking at that payphone. Elizabeth dressed as Patty looking at that payphone, and she does not want to
do that. No, she really doesn't want to do that. She didn't want to stoop to that. She wanted to use something else, but this is her last shot, and so she's kind of putting on her hooker there, you know, and trying to get in character.
Well, Dawn answers the phone, and Patty asks for Young He, but she knows that Young He's not there.
Of course she does. She's getting Dawn to take her to her house and get him upstairs to help her move a piece of furniture and give him some wine and knock him out and do what she did.
I just wrote, oh, no, on here as soon as she's doing that. Because
well, you know
I knew
what she's doing.
I know. Well, I thought it was going to be even worse, but I thought she was going to seduce him. Paige and Philip walk into the church now. And Pastor Tim comes up. Now, what is going on? There's something more with this Pastor Tim thing. He's going to Ethiopia.
Right.
And he's thanking Philip for getting them good deals on their stuff. And Philip said, oh, no, thank you for keeping our travel agency in business. And they're just kind of, you know, scratching each other's bags and, you know. I think, and I've said from the beginning, there's something about Pastor Tim. He's not who he proclaims to be. Now, we see in upcoming episodes.
I think you have inside information.
I have no inside information. I'm just thinking, listen, I don't think Alice is in on it, though. I don't think she knows. I don't think she's in on it. But I do think it's Pastor Tim. And I think these trips to Ethiopia are something else. That's what I think.
Well, later on, we see that he's somebody's hostage.
Maybe he's a hostage, or maybe he's just talking to somebody in a room.
Yeah, maybe.
We don't know. But this is where Pastor Tim tells Philip that he thinks Paige is sad, and that he thinks they should all get together and have another conversation.
Right.
Well, Philip doesn't like that.
No, he doesn't, but... You know, he's going to go, he's going to do whatever he needs to do. He's going to respond to it because that's part of their MO, is keeping Pastor Tim and Alice happy. So if Pastor Tim thinks there's a problem, Philip not wanting him to think there's a problem, will attend the meeting.
Well, then we go back and Dawn, this is where Dawn drove Patty home, and you're right. She talks him into going, oh, can you move some furniture for me? I need you to taste this wine because I'm just no good at this. And when Dawn took the glass of wine, I was afraid of a couple things. I was afraid Dawn was going to actually make a pass at her. And I'm so glad you didn't, Dawn. I'm so glad you didn't do that. Can I just say that? And
he's still, the jury's still out. He may come back.
The jury is not out.
Oh, he might,
Dawn.
He might be.
No,
thinking.
He
Dawn's
is not.
Dawn's thinking about it right now.
No,
I promise you.
No, he's not.
Dawn's thinking, I don't even remember that. I'm going to go back and remember it.
No. But
hey, Patty, you got any more of that wine?
But she drops something in his wine, something that dissolves. And then when he picks the glass up and looks through it and swirls it, I'm thinking he's going to see that,
yeah, a little
right?
pill floating around there. But it's gone by that time.
Taste it or something. But he doesn't.
No, they got that good Russian stuff. Their missile defense system sucks, but they got the best dissolving knock your ass out pill on the market.
That was pretty, and with no taste, obviously, because he
That's
really liked the wine. Okay, then we cut to where Philip comes into Paige's room, and Paige is like, she is. Pastor Tim's right. She is burdened, I think is the word he used. And she's saying that she's got a lot of schoolwork to do. She doesn't have time to do other stuff because she has to spend so much time with Pastor Tim and Alice. She points out like several days a week that she's doing volunteer stuff and stuff like that there. But Philip knows how to get her excited about going to drive. He tempts her with the Camaro.
Oh, yeah. And she perks up and they're going to go drive.
Yep. And then back at Patty's apartment, Dawn starts to sweat. And then I started thinking, is she going to kill him? Is Dawn going to have like
no,
some kind
of... No, I knew what she was going to do.
Well, I figured out. I mean, I thought that's what she was going to do, but I didn't know if Dawn wasn't going to have some kind of reaction. Now, explain that one away. Dawn has some kind of reaction to the pill. I mean, the way he was sweating and stuff, that was scary to me. And then she puts her hand on his leg and...
He rejects her.
Yep. And then she goes in for a kiss and he gets up to leave.
Yep.
And...
And, of course, he can't leave because he's been drugged by the superior knock-your-butt-out
It's a pretty
Russian
bad
spy
drug.
Pill.
But this whole time she's saying she doesn't, you know, she's never going to meet anybody and she's not as good a person as young he is. And he's being real comforting to her.
Maybe one of those jerks isn't a jerk. Yeah, he's trying to encourage
yeah,
her.
Yeah, and he's saying, when I first met young he, she was arrogant and I said things I shouldn't have said, but we ended up falling in love. So he's got a thing for his wife. He mm-hmm. loves his wife. Unlike some people who get girlfriends all the time, Dawn doesn't want a girlfriend. He's got a wife. So Paige can't believe she's getting to drive the Camaro, and Philip loves the car, but he loves her more. Isn't that sweet?
That was...
And it's true, yeah. Right, as a father?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, of course it's true, but can't you imagine just the joy of getting to see your daughter get to do something like that? It'd be so worth.
The joy of having your daughter, or seeing your daughter have joy is something.
Sure. Well, then we go back and forth in the scenes between Philip and Paige driving and Elizabeth undressing Dawn.
And then we're hearing that song that came out that was Major Tom, which was not the what everybody thought, the Major Tom, the David Bowie Major Tom. This was the, what was that guy's name that came out with this song? I don't even think I wrote it down. But it was released in West Germany in January of 1983, and it reached number one there. The English version was released in September of 1983, which is when the false alarm occurred, which is, we're just a little past September of 83.
Right, right.
And so they dated it really well for us. And it ended up 14 on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100 list and number two on this dang dance chart again. I never knew there was such a thing as a dance chart. And when I did some research on it, they described the song as related to the character or unofficially related to the character in the David Bowie song Space Oddity from 1969.
Right.
When he's talking about Major Tom, you know, Major
right.
Tom to ground control.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy, come on, he copied Bowie. He had to, Major Tom. I mean, Bowie's song came out in 69 about an astronaut named Major Tom. And now this guy in 1983, I guess, thinks enough time has gone by. So he's ripped Bowie off here. But there was never any kind of unpleasant exchange about it between the two.
Okay.
But what did you think this song referenced?
Well, I mean, it was just talking about space exploration, kind of, right? I mean, it's talking, that's what the song was about.
Also, for me, the missile countdown in it kind of
four,
got
four, three, two,
yeah,
one, yeah.
For the intercontinental
right.
ballistic missile exchange between
right.
the two countries, and that's probably not not that strong a connection, but that's what jumped out at me about it.
Right. Well, yeah, after we had just seen the Day After movie, too, that's pretty much in our minds. So, Elizabeth, man, she gets she is making sure that Don thinks something happened.
Right, yeah, she put something on
some
his...
Some lubrication.
Yeah,
she even goes
private
as far
parts
as...
And,
right, doing that to make him think when he wakes up. I mean, this is like, there's going to be no question in his mind. He's not going to be able to think, well, I just passed out.
No,
nothing happened.
He's going to think something happened. He wakes up naked in a bed with a naked woman with something all over him.
I know. And he starts to slowly come around and... He apologizes, like, repeatedly to her.
He doesn't know what to do.
And
he
gets up and gets dressed and leaves. Don't you feel bad for him?
I feel really... And the interesting thing is that Elizabeth feels bad for him, too. She feels really bad for Don.
I think so.
Can you tell?
I wasn't sure if it was about Don.
She does from the start.
Or about young He.
Well, that's a great point.
Because she's friends with Young He.
That's a good point.
Remember, they showed us at the beginning of this episode her saying that she actually had fun. I mean, this is like a spy mission where she has enjoyed herself, and I think she's developed, and we have to remember, more months have passed.
Well, no, Young He is pretty charming, but I don't have any room for any more girlfriends. I'll tell you right now.
Okay. Well, Paige and Philip pull back up, and she is so excited. She's so excited.
Sure,
and they
she completed the mission in the Camaro.
And she's like, I'm a driver. And he's like, okay, I'm going to go throw up now. And she's like, Dad. She keeps going, Dad. But then we're back at home, and Paige is playing a video game, and this is where Elizabeth comes in. And Paige runs to her to tell her about the Camaro, but Elizabeth can't. She is distraught.
She's feeling pretty bad. And I think you're right. I think she's more distraught about what she did to Young He.
She's crying. Elizabeth is crying. Have we even seen her cry?
No, but I mean she went to Est. She went to Est.
She did.
That's all I'm saying.
She did go to Est. Phillips pulled a tooth out of her head. And she didn't cry.
No, she didn't cry at anything.
I know, but she's
crying. She whipped two FBI agents' butts on the side of the road. Philip pulls her teeth. I mean, she's something.
But she says she's going to miss her, and then we camera angle panning away from outside the window, and that's how we end. And it's sad. This whole episode was really, it was sad. It was kind of...
Just like the movie the day after.
Yeah.
Very
sobering.
Very sobering and really heavy. Very heavy.
Well, next week, Paige is saying in a Russian-controlled country, he disappears.
Yeah. Paige is now the analyst.
Tim is missing, and Alice says that if he doesn't come home, she's made a tape of exactly who they are and that it's going to the Justice Department, and they're all standing there with their mouths open. I mean, and
Paige has just got to be hating life right now because she started this whole thing with Tim and Alice.
By telling them, just by her words. Gabriel's telling Elizabeth that she's already done the hard part, and then we see her as Patty, and we hear her saying the next part is the hard part. So I don't know what on earth is going on. And then Alice is telling Paige that she's never been scared before. And Elizabeth and Philip are telling Paige that they may all have to leave.
Yeah,
that's what we see next time. And I made a note here that I miss Martha.
You know, I miss Martha. I mean, I've been listening to sad songs on the radio, and you know, just haven't really been the same. It's been hard.
Has it been?
It's been difficult. And I thought Elizabeth was going to get me through it, but.
We hope you'll connect with us here at Tribal Rant and become part of our American Reds podcast. So, Mike, how do people get in touch with you if they have questions or comments about our American Reds podcast?
At Mike from TN.
And I'm at Michelle from TN, so you can tweet us. Also, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Tribal Rant. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn, so you can subscribe to us there. Please like us and rate us if you like what we're doing. Ratings are a great way to help a podcast, and we really do appreciate all the ratings that we've gotten so far. And, of course, all this information is on TribalRant.com, where you can email us or leave us a message. We'd love to hear from you. Probably talk your ear off whenever you do that. We are usually pretty responsive to anything we hear. And don't forget, we just started back with the Fear the Walking Dead podcast. We have only a few episodes left of it for this season. But if you guys like Fear the Walking Dead, it's on TribalRant.com. It's called Fear the Walking prequel. Also, we do a Survivor podcast every week, and if you guys like Survivor, check that out. It's The Tribe Has Spoken here on TribalRant.com. Only one more episode of that left. And if you can't get enough of The Americans, we can't blame you. Our friends Mike and Jamie over at West Coast Project do a The Americans podcast that's like everything else over there, really good. So if you guys want more and want to hear different views, check them out at WestCoastProject.com. So do you have anything else for this episode?
Nope, I'm done.
The Americans? Okay, nope. Well then... I'll see you back next week.
I'll see you in 2 minutes. We'll get something to eat with you.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.